right, good morning, everyone. We're in luck because Lydia Nichols made it to the studio. And so we're going to start off talking about her art exhibition. Lydia is an independent art curator and is putting on a show called In/Between Spaces, a recurring mobile exhibition. So first of all, tell me, you know, how you got the idea to do this particular exhibition.
Well, so the concept kind of sprung from several different sources, and then they all melded together. I study Black arts movements, particularly that of the 70s, and was especially interested in how people like Amiri Baraka, who was a brilliant writer, especially playwright, brought art to the people, brought for them theater to the people, in the communities in which they lived. So I started toying with the idea of some kind of pop-up literary venture. But then it clicked that I actually don't, well, one, literature isn't particularly accessible to everyone across the socioeconomic spectrum, and also that I already work in the visual arts world and have many more resources to leverage in that regard. So that also, last month, as I'm sure everyone knows, was the 10th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. Mm. As a Native New Orleanian and a Black New Orleanian, a Black Native New Orleanian, I felt like I was not represented in the conversation that was going on around hashtag Katrina 10, which is a very funny title to me. But anyway, so I wanted to create something that could engage those folks like me who were not being spoken with, but instead were being spoken for. So that's how In Between Spaces started. I reached out to friends of mine who are contemporary visual artists about displaying their work out of a U-Haul, and they agreed, which I was kind of surprised because they're not just like emerging artists who haven't displayed work and are eager for people to see them. These are people who have exhibitions in the CAC and the Ogden as we speak, who have exhibited their work internationally. So yeah, they agreed. Here we are. The second iteration of In Between Spaces.
When did the first one go?
So the first one was Katrina Anniversary Weekend.
Oh, okay.
And that one was pretty general, just exploring how we negotiate Black identity in New Orleans in 2015. Not particularly Katrina-centric, but obviously 2015 is 10 years after Katrina, so that it was still a relevant factor. And we ran all weekend long, Friday through Sunday, the 28th through 30th, and we went to 5 sites of Black possibility and Black memory. So outside of the Flint Goodrich Hospital on Louisiana Avenue, which mm-hmm. was this historic Black hospital, the only hospital where Black doctors could practice for a very long time, and it was owned by Dillard until the 80s when they sold to a national hospital chain.
Where is that?
On Louisiana Avenue off of LaSalle.
Okay.
And it's now a senior independent living facility. Oh. My mother was born there, and now she has friends who live there, which is a very interesting phenomena. So we were there. We were by the Claiborne Bridge, which used to be a thriving Black economic district before it was demolished to make a bridge. Where else do we go? Black Star Cafe in Algiers and Ashe Sunday night. So yeah, those were our sites. And this time, after that, the director of the Office of Black Catholic Ministries reached out to me about sponsoring this one. in conjunction with their Gospel Fest. And that's how this one came about.
Cool. So before we get to the one about the Gospel Fest, I'm curious still about the physicality of this. You're saying it's a U-Haul?
Yeah, so it's a 26-foot U-Haul. I spruce it up a bit and hang art from its walls. I curate an exhibition inside of it. Now, I don't just hang art haphazardly. But yeah, so it looks like a completely different space when I'm done with it. Yeah.
So people have to like step up into the truck?
Yeah, so they have the ramp. Mm-hmm. So walk up the little ramp and then you've got the exhibition, and this time I'll have maps. Last time I just had labels, but this time I'll have maps, so people are actually guided in a specific sequence through the art, because I'm mainly a writer, so I approach curating as I would an essay, so guiding them through the pieces and presenting an argument in this context about what it means to have this this Christian background, even if you aren't Christian at this point in your life, but to have that major influence in your life and in your art, and to be Black, and how to deal with those things because they don't actually support each other.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. I mean, do you feel like, well, first of all, I guess, what do you feel is the stated conflict, or what? Or what are the tensions that are there?
The Bible was historically used against Africans, both on the continent and those who were forcibly migrated or forced to migrate to the New World to colonize them. It was used to separate us from our culture. We were given Christian names. Our ancestors were given Christian names. We were taught that this white God who we should be worshiping commands us to be subservient, that this is our Bible-given role, and that our only way to get to heaven, which has been touted as, you know, what should be the goal, is to embrace our role as servants. And so it was not intended to be a liberatory force. Then you have people like Nat Turner and Denmark Vesey who rebelled against that system, who rebelled against the system of slavery, and they mainly used the Bible as their tool for gathering people and informing their arguments. So the intent from the colonizer was to use it to make us lose ourselves, but a lot of people reclaimed it. Well, can't say reclaimed, because... but radicalized it and rooted it in African spiritual systems and reinterpreted it for our benefit. So then you have those slave revolts that were largely founded on scripture, and then you have Black liberation theology of the 1960s. So it's not an either-or thing. It's not that you're either Christian or you're proud to be Black. You can be both, but there's still a tension there that a lot of people don't talk about, especially not now, I think. But I think it's an important subject to engage.
Yeah, and let's just be clear to make sure people know. So the new instantiation of In Between Spaces is that the theme is Black Christianity.
Yes, ma'am.
And so Gospel Fest reached out to you, mm-hmm. and specifically to like address these tensions, or
no? They just reached out to me to do an art exhibition, and I asked because I'm completely non-religious, and okay. I was like, Is there any particular theme you would like the art to be centered around? And Dr. Ansel responded. He was like, just something of a spiritual nature. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I can work with that. And honestly, when I came up with the theme, I didn't know how they would respond to it, because in my experience, it's not really a topic that people who are still in the church tend to look at. So yeah, but they've been fine. So yeah.
Well, did you grow up going to church?
Yes, I grew up in possibly the strictest Christian religion that exists. My family, they're Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, okay.
So I left when I was 18, but I've never been bitter towards them specifically or towards Christianity in general. As I explain in the things that I have written about the exhibition, I understand that the church or Christianity is a site of Black possibility or can be a site of Black possibility. In the past, leaders have been cultivated in that space. We've been given a platform for creative self-expression through music, through visual art, through dance, and oratorically, especially, I guess that would be the most obvious. And it's also been a place where we've cultivated or strengthened community ties. But that doesn't change the historical realities either. But looking at it from a sort of a Black feminist lens, I guess, where we embrace these both and realities, where it doesn't have to, I don't have to relinquish that, like, the joys of my childhood. You know what I'm saying? Like, there were a lot of good things that came for me personally and that I feel have come to our community through the church or that have been enacted because of that fellowship. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I don't think there's anything wrong with continuing in that. So yeah.
But do you feel like there are hidden, like, dangers or I guess tensions that people don't acknowledge that are still going on today?
Yeah, definitely. I say the biggest one is that in spite of, like, the basic logical historical reality that Jesus wasn't white and that God is couldn't possibly be a physical being, or in my opinion isn't a physical being, or a person, there's still the image that has been deeply entrenched in people's minds, both Black and white, that God is white and that Jesus is white. I think that's probably the biggest danger. Because there's, you create this system through which Black people are still seeking liberation, essentially. I mean, heaven is what has been seen as the ultimate liberation, seeking liberation through a white person. And that translates into how we manage in the physical realm. So I think that's probably the biggest danger, and I don't think that's a conversation, or in my experience, a lot of Black people who are still practicing Christians are not comfortable with having that conversation. There are church here and there that have a Black Jesus on a cross, sculptures and images, or pictures, or paintings, I guess I should say. But those are not as popular as they should be. So a lot of people still have images of blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus on their walls. And that's very problematic psychologically.
I'm curious what you think about, you know, the recent shooting that went on in the church, and especially the reaction of the families afterwards, that sort of forgiveness that they gave. And I heard different, you know, perspectives on that, you know, some people feeling very moved by it and some people feeling like it was symptomatic of a overall attitude within sort of Black churches that can be really problematic.
I agree with the latter. I feel like the church is a really strange place in 2015, the Black church, because it's probably one of, I'd say, three institutions that has been sustained post-segregation. You have, like, the Black church, the Black hairdresser, and the Black funeral home, and that's, like, it. But one of those relies on the Black, on the fact that you're probably better off getting your curly hair cut by someone who has curly hair. And funeral homes, I feel like that's more of a legacy thing. Churches, to some extent, that's a legacy thing, but with the movement of people in our age range, you can't really say that it is, because people go to new cities and then they join new churches, but they still join Black churches. But then you still have this, that sort of subservient mindset where you're constantly making excuses for your oppressor. These people came in, or this person, not these people, this person came in, and I've honestly tried very hard to forget his name because I just don't feel the need to commit it to memory, but unfortunately, it popped in my head. Anyway, I shall not say it. he came in and he killed your friend, your family, and there's no reason you should be okay with that. I mean, I'm not saying to harbor resentment, but I just, I do think it is symptomatic of I think it's symptomatic of our conditioning as an oppressed people to want to look human by being this hyper humane people who forgive people who kill us senselessly, and also sort of the propaganda that's been created around around Black Christian leaders turn the other cheek rhetoric. I think there's a lot of misunderstandings of Dr. King specifically and what he taught that still come into play in how people process pain and oppression and how they respond to it and what they feel is necessary to eradicate it. And those misconceptions are misconceptions.
Yeah. So once you kind of got into your mind the theme, sort of how, what was your process of finding the artist, and what did you find?
So I reached out to a couple who had displayed work in the first one. So Anna Hernandez and Carl Joe Williams and Kim Coleman are the three who are in this one that were also in the first. I reached out to, I mean, and these are all people like that are in my social circle. So it wasn't a super formal process. It was more so like, hey, doing this thing. Either there was a piece I already knew about, or I felt like it's something that we've talked about before that I thought that they would be interested in making something for. So Brandon B. Mike Odoms has a piece called Black Jesus that for the longest time, literally, like since he made it at least a year, if not two ago, I thought it was Tupac as Jesus, but then somebody corrected me and told me it was actually a rapper from New Orleans whose name I don't remember as Jesus. And so that's his piece. Io Scott, he is displaying a couple pieces. It's priests with these Dogon masks on, and they have cash in their hand, and they're called Blessed and Too Blessed. And there's Annie Moran and Joseph Moran, daughter and father. Annie's piece is, it's a diptych that is Candomblé inspired, or well, it's actually inspired by this Brazilian church in Salvador, where they hang mannequin limbs from the ceiling. The parishioners bring mannequin limbs and they tie ribbon around a particular part of the limb to signify an ailment, and they bring it there for healing. So it's this Candomblé mix with Catholicism. That's super interesting. And so she has this watercolor or charcoal rendering of it. So yeah, those are some of the pieces. There are 8 artists in total. Let me see if I can remember all the names. Kim Coleman, Carl Joe Williams, Brandon B. Mike Odoms, Anna Hernandez, Joseph Moran, Annie Moran, excuse me, Matthew Rosenbeck, who has 2 really, really great sculptures that I'm excited to have. And Io Scott. So yeah, 8 New Orleans-based artists of color, all engaging this theme from very blatant Christian imagery like the Black Jesus to Yoruba sculptures, Yoruba influenced sculpture, and mixtures of West African cosmological systems with the Christian iconography. So yeah, it'll be good stuff.
Yeah, so are any of the artists that are participating particularly religious or connected to that? I guess you might not know.
No, I wouldn't know. No, none of them are. All of them do come from a church-going background. Brandon, for instance, who everyone knows as B. Mike, but I never call him B. Mike. His parents are Pentecostal. Mm. And they have a church on the West Bank. His father is a preacher or a minister. So that's his background. He isn't practicing, but he goes every now and then to make them happy, which is sort of what I do too. Every now and then I go to, you know, make my parents happy. Joseph Moran and Annie were both raised Catholic. Joseph raised Annie Catholic, but neither of them are practicing. The same with Io Scott. The reason I actually reached out to Io, in addition to him being a great artist, is that a few months ago on Facebook, he started this, what became a very long conversation about how basically the topic of the exhibition, how do practicing Black Christians feel about the history of the Bible's use to oppress us? So I knew he would have something to say on the topic.
And what have you heard from people who have that perspective?
Honestly,
or like who are still like invested in the church?
I don't know many.
Yeah.
What would my parents say? My dad would, I really don't have these conversations. I avoid these conversations with people who are actually still practicing. I think there are some who can acknowledge it and still feel comfortable in their faith. I have friends who are in Trinity Baptist Church in Chicago, which is the church that President Obama went to before he had to separate himself from that church for like PR reasons. But they're very grounded in Black liberation theology. And so their minister, I guess their head minister, he is very aware of that and speaks openly about it, and also about the African influence informing what we now know as Christianity, the influence of the Kemetic deities and other indigenous African deities in creating Western thought. So I guess for some it's not really a contradictory thing. Especially in Io's Post, I guess that was the only place where I really saw, and I mean, it's generally like, you know, people have this thought, so you don't even engage them on it, but there's a lot of denial. So yeah, Saturday will be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, is there going to be like a discussion, or is it just.
Just come and talk. I mean, the way, so originally, and the last time I say originally, like this was like years ago, last month when we first had it, the space was designed like a salon, sort of. So basically, someone's living room. So we had a sofa and other things to give it a homey vibe, which is very non-traditional for a gallery setting or exhibition setting. So people were invited to stay and engage with it more. There will be way more people this time than there were last time, and it's a U-Haul, so that's not really practical. So we're still going to have the sofa, but outside, still encouraging people to gather, not just to look at the art, like breeze through and leave. So hopefully there will be some organic discussion. I don't want to push it, especially with Gospel Fest going on and that being the main show. Yeah, that's basically that.
Okay, yeah. Church. But like, do you feel like that is just going to be the status quo, or do you feel a shift coming?
Like people are about to start going back.
Yeah, or like where are they going instead, you know? Or like if there's something like people are going towards and in alternative, you know?
I don't I'd say for my social circle, the shift has been toward reclaiming indigenous African spiritual practices. So for some, that means being initiated into the belief systems of their ancestors. For others, like myself, I just learn from multiple and kind of form it. I take what makes sense to me or what feels right, energetically, and kind of have my own little hodgepodge spirituality, which apparently is offensive. Did you read that article about it was an African writer, it was an Afropunk, and they wrote that Black people are appropriating Black Americans are appropriating African culture
Yes,
by
I did see
wearing.
that. Yeah, totally.
Sorry.
No, what did you think about that?
Yeah, and I mean, and I do think that's relevant to this conversation, because when you've been stripped of, I mean, one of their arguments was that we we mix things up without, and they didn't say it this eloquently, we mix things up without being aware of the intentionality that is associated with those fabrics, with those patterns or whatever. And I mean, that translates to how we practice or what our spiritual practice looks like too. There are a lot of small rituals that are still ingrained in Black Christianity, and the intentionality isn't there. But it's definitely an African retention, like things that are not in mainstream, I guess, Christianity at all. But are we supposed to relinquish those things just because we don't know what the intention is? I think that would be kind of crazy and a really offensive to say that, which they did say that, so I should change the tense to that is really offensive and is really crazy. So yeah, I don't know if that answered your question. I don't even know what was the question.
Well, no, I mean, I think it's just sort of
what are we doing instead of church?
Yeah, or like, yeah. What's the new thing, or what's being changed?
Yeah, I mean, even outside of my social group of primarily urban hip Black people in the arts, you hear a lot of like people talking about vibrations and energy, and so I do think there is this desire to go back to something that's just more natural and organic and non-institutional, which religion is an institution. So yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, I mean, obviously there's a lot of people in white culture that are very offended and, you know, had to leave the church because of all the issues that they were having with it, and from a very different perspective. But yeah, I guess, is there anything else you want people to know about the show?
I guess my parting words would be, a lot of the work is never before seen, may not be seen again. Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, it's just a really interesting topic that I think will incite some important dialogue. And I hope to see you all there.
Great. So it's this Saturday from 4 o'clock to 10 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
outside of the Carver Theater on 2101 Orleans Avenue.
Yes, ma'am.
And is there a possibility it could be somewhere else?
There is. I haven't decided, so I don't know if I want to tell the world. But there's a possibility that we will be later that night at the Joan Mitchell Center during
if you're calling, I can't answer the phone. There's no one here but me. You have to call back when we're on a break.
That's hilarious.
Sorry.
It's okay. We'll be at the Joan Mitchell Center on Bayou Road during Pass It On, which is a spoken word open mic event that is organized by Io Scott, who is one of the artists. So that is a possibility. I do not know for sure just yet. But yeah.
Cool. So I did want to ask finally, like, what your hopes were for sort of sparking this conversation. Because you talked about, like, not wanting to say, you know, like you said, wanting to make a both and space, like, mm-hmm. not really there to condemn Christianity. Mm-hmm. But, like, what kind of shifts would you like to see, or what would make you more comfortable?
I would like to see people acknowledge that a lot of the things that we love about Christianity is not so much a result of Christianity as it is of African retentions, and being able to reclaim those things intentionally, and to preserve them within the institutions that we do still have control of, like the Black Church. and being able to use those, or making sure that we're using those institutions for community building, and safe spaces, and preserving them. I guess that's what I would like to happen. I also think that it would be very cathartic for people to be able to acknowledge the history of colonization and the Bible's use in that, and to be like to say for themselves that I can acknowledge this and still have my relationship to Christianity, whatever that relationship may be at this point in time. So, yeah, cool. That's that.
Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and if you missed some of this conversation, we're going to have it up on the Tumblr, wtlnews.tumblr.com, and hopefully people come out and see it this Saturday.
Yes, yes.
Okay.